Welcome to the back room at Slinky's Liquor Pond and Video, and you pulled something off that you.
Pulled off what they call a slinky slide hootenanny. Don't ask me what that means, but
I don't care what it means. I
no.
can't believe you did it.
Yeah.
We actually got an interview.
It worked.
It worked this time. Something he did
Shit
worked.
never works out.
We got an interview with Craig Aarons and David Espinosa, the writer and director, and also actors from Evil Down the Street, The Evil Down the Street.
Evil Down the Street, based on true events.
And it's
It's a
the
creepy little film.
number
It's
one
good.
horror movie on Amazon Prime.
For
Like most of the summer, pretty
it's
much.
probably like 2.5 months.
It's
It's been number
amazing.
one. It hasn't moved. Hasn't moved. It's never been. Oh, it went
No one's really kicked it
two or
out.
three, and then it
No.
came back. It hasn't moved. So that goes to show you, man. People like the movie.
Absolutely. And it's about possession. I like possession. You know,
Yeah,
both of us were married.
my ex-wife.
Ah, ex-husband, Jesus.
Pazuzu.
Oh.
What a fine day for an exorcism. Ooh.
I should have exercised that a long time ago.
Should have smited that bitch.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Anyway, enjoy the interview. Lots of great stuff in
It's
here.
really funny.
And there's actually some stuff in here I don't talk about with anybody else.
Well, they've been friends for years, so
So.
they bounce off each other very well. But it's really funny. It's a fun interview. Everybody had a real good time. And
So here you go. Enjoy it. And.
give it a shot.
All right. Well, once again, here at Slinky Liquor Pond and Video, we have a pretty interesting crew here for an interview, don't we?
Yeah, a couple of fellows wandered into the shady part of town.
Yeah, poor guys. You know, we don't know what's going on.
Totally quick,
You know,
yeah.
I'm just so worried about the car.
Yeah, your car's done,
Yeah,
guys. Your
they're
car's done.
gone. They're
I got a
gone.
guy.
But anyway, everyone from the wonderful film,
The Evil Down the Street,
we
which is
have.
number one, still knocking out on Amazon
Amazon
Prime.
Prime.
So,
So we
absolutely.
have the wonderful Craig Aarons and David Espinosa. So guys, hopefully, hey,
There we
there we
are.
go.
Hey.
All right. Well, once again, thank you both for joining us. We can't
Yes.
thank you enough for
Cannot
that.
thank you enough.
I don't even know where to start with this.
Okay,
Do you
it
want to do
says
that?
what all right, well, first off, what got you guys into the industry? The movie making industry. What made you guys think that's what I want to do?
We
Go
were
ahead,
here to,
Dave.
we're masochists.
Yeah,
And we just bled, we natural crossover right into movies, get abused, And then we went to the other side, became a little sadistic here, and started abusing actors and technicians. No, I'm just kidding.
that was all, dude, I can roll with that. That was awesome.
Go ahead, Greg. Why don't you tell me?
Well,
Hey, Craig.
I was a mortgage banker for 25 years. And the short story is, if you remember 2007, the mortgage meltdown, I was a banker from 83 through 2007. Thoroughly enjoyed the business. I never once sat watching a movie, which I always thoroughly enjoyed, thinking, oh, I could so do that. But a friend of mine who'd been an actor for years invited me to his acting class in 2012. I didn't realize that he was an acting coach. So I thought, okay, fine, I would do that. The next day he called me and said, why don't you give this 90 days? And I thought, oh, hell no. But at the time I was raising three kids, I was a single dad for years. And I always told my kids, always be open to possibility. So this put it to the test. And so that's how this whole thing started. And I started off as an actor, but my goal was always to be a filmmaker. I mean, in my age category, there wasn't really anything too enjoyable about the auditioning process. And as a banker for 25 years, I never had an interview. So now you're always out there singing for your supper. I live in Orange County. So driving to LA for an audition, round trip could be easily 5 hours. And the likelihood of success, in all honesty, there's a lot of rejection in this business. I thought I want to learn it to be competent to relate to actors. But the goal was always to be a filmmaker as I am today. And then along the way, by the grace of God, I met the young lad David Espinosa. And I just said, hey, if you're not busy, you want to make films with you. No, I'm kidding. But we met through a third person. And I met David as an attorney of the oddest thing. And we just started talking. And he was talking about he graduated from UCLA School of Drama. I'll let him share that. And so now, hold on now. So you're an attorney and also this background. So right then, we fell in love, not like a cheap prison story, but I'll pass the baton off to David at this point. But that's my story.
Hey, please, my wife's listening. Watch out.
That's why I have headphones.
I knew something was up.
No, actually, I think this is actually really cool. The story is fantastic.
Yeah,
because,
this is good.
Because, honestly, I relate very well to this. Yeah. My background, I did 4 years of Shakespeare and 3 years of musical theater. And I became a financial advisor.
Yeah.
Oh. I relate very much to this story, like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah,
there you go.
This stuff sometimes, you know,
it makes perfect sense.
Yes,
they are so connected.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. You know, financial
makes great
officer,
sense.
You know, it makes the perfect sense.
Horror host,
but yeah, exactly. Yeah. But no, honestly, I understand where you come from and like doing what you did and David. You know what you did as an attorney. If you can get by that and get past people every single day having to do those things, this is nothing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. True. Well,
this is more fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Trust me, I'd much rather do this than explain someone's 401k to them. Oh, trust me.
Amen.
Every day of the week.
Amen.
So, okay. So let's hear what David, how he got into it. So.
Well, since I was a kid, my brother and I, especially in the summers, worked every day odd little jobs, whatever it was, to go to the movies on Saturday. We'd spend the whole day there, watch 3 movies, a series of cartoons, eat all kinds of junk food, and I was at home there. Something I've always loved doing. So off and on, I've been involved in theater up until I left high school at an early age because I started working right away. It's just something I've always loved doing, but I didn't take it serious. And I went off and worked for the phone company and became a police officer for a while. And then I moved to Hawaii, on Maui. Moved to Maui in 76. My beautiful wife came. She was to stay with me. She was my girlfriend then, but I knew already we were going to be married forever, which was a good thing. I decided right then and there at that time I was going to go back to school. I was already 24. I was going to go to college. I was going to go to UCLA and study acting. And she said, "That's great." I'm like, this woman's either crazy or she really loves me. That's what I did. 4 years later, I had a degree from UCLA in theater. And I started doing my own work. In theater, writing plays, having them produced, getting paid to direct my own work, but I just couldn't make any real money. And I started doing some movies and getting some television work. And I'm going, wow, okay. Next thing I know, I'm being asked to do films. And then I have a producer buys my way into SAG. I didn't realize at the time what an honor it was. I just thought that's what happens. It's a normal thing. Oh, okay, you want to do a movie? They got to put you in the union. Because I was used to being in unions.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the CWA, IBEW. I was a union steward for Communication Workers of America. So it was a normal thing for me. Later on, I realized what a privilege I had by having a producer director want me in his movie that much to pay my way into SAG. So that's what started it. But then I had a family and I moved on. And next thing I know, my wife and I are talking about it. We can't afford our kids. We really can't afford a house with what I'm doing. And I'm a family guy. I love my children and my wife, and I'm not going to run off for my career. So there I go in law school at the age of 34.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a rather strange experience. And while I'm there, I end up doing a couple of television series. I get involved with the films. Again, I just can't shake it. And fortunately, down the line, 20-something years later, off and on, playing music, doing other things with a group, jazz group, I quit, period, and decided I was just going to go back, get an agent. Got the agent, got work right away, teaching acting. I've been doing that off and on for the last 30, 40 years. And then I met Craig. friend of ours, a gentleman by name Mr. Todd Chase. I kept telling him, you got to meet this guy, you got to meet this guy. You'll like him. You guys can make movies. And over a year, he kept hounding me about it. Finally, I said, set up a meeting. I met Craig. We liked each other right away. We had the same ethics. We had the same drive. We had the same spirit about what we were doing. He had a script. We started working on it, and we made this film. I organized it in about 9 months over the phone. Never met each other personally in person. Wow. Did the whole thing over the phone, talking to each other, sending each other information through, of course, the computer, internet systems, etc. And the first time I met him in person was 2 days before we started shooting. We shot the film in 18 days on a tight budget, came under budget, and that's The Evil Down the Street. And since then, we've been at it. We have another film, The Crumbs, which is currently finishing up in post. We should have a rough cut in a couple of weeks. We're excited about that. We have another one in pre-production planning now, a script that's being finalized. So I feel blessed about what I'm doing, why I'm doing it. This is the only thing I've ever wanted to do, was make movies as an actor, director, writer. And good Lord, here it is. I don't know what happened. I think Craig fell on his head, but he's providing an opportunity to write, direct, act. I mean, we even write ourselves cheesy parts here and there.
See, that's pretty awesome. You guys are, you know, you're doing what you want to do, but you're all, what, connected? And they're, I don't even know where I'm going with this. It's the fact that they're all kind of not helping each other out, but it's like they're,
you know, you lean on one another. Yeah, it's kind of fun. Yeah, it's
tight-knit.
We complement each other. The skills I don't have, he has. And the skills I have, he also the same. So it's for us, it's a mutual. It's a very much a way in which the two of us, in a symbiotic, if you want to use science, in a symbiotic relationship, it works so well. And we're too old to have egos. So we leave those at the door. We're able to tell each other. I mean, because that's what it's about. And he can tell me that sounds like crap, and I can tell him that sounds like crap, and we're both, you know, good with that. So
that's good.
We really pretty love that.
Absolutely, well, absolutely. You know,
there's plenty of times that I look at him and be like, "That was kind of stupid," you know. run that by me again, you know, one more time.
You want to say that out loud to yourself? Yeah.
Did you write that down before you said it?
But
that's funny.
Ask him something, or
no? I mean, there's a couple things. I mean, number one, we wanted to talk to you definitely about the story, because you know, it's inspired by true events. But there's some part of the aspect of the story that because I'm very much a fan of the paranormal. Mm-hmm. I like dissecting that, and you know what we know of the paranormal. Or what we think we know of the paranormal. There's a part to poltergeist activity that many people attribute to teenage girls. That teenage mm-hmm. girls kind of draw in this type of activity. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not necessarily a conduit, but it's attracting to them.
A catalyst.
Yeah, a catalyst. So I was going to ask, when you were choosing the cast, or did you specifically choose two teenage girls? Well,
when you were writing the story, was it already known that you were going to have the two teenage girls, or you know, was that kind of just on the spot thing when you guys were writing the story?
Or did that have something to do with that the part actual of paranormal story. Activity? Yeah.
Maybe I'll take the first part of this, David. The family unit. Was very much in alignment of the family in question that the movie centers around.
Yes.
Not exactly maybe the same sex as far as the siblings, but the same sort of relationship. And I think David did a masterful job of taking the true elements and blending it into film without being overdone. You know, we try to really serve the story. And since I had known the family for a long period of time, we would have maybe enjoyed push things out in other areas, but that's not this story. So we wanted really to serve this story. So that family structure, the unit, was very much in alignment of how it was. Maybe there's something, David, you want to add to that, because David certainly added his genius to the script. Not only because initially, yeah, it was the script that I had written, but you only can say to somebody so many times, thank you for rewrites. Eventually became, I think we should have this co-written together, because it was to the point of ridiculous. So you may want to touch on this too, David.
Well, I think when I read the script, I thought the basic script itself already had reality in it. And I thought it was spookier, creepier, more horrific to actually show how somebody behaved, not in a manner that their eyeballs were bleeding or the walls were breathing or they're levitating, but in a manner that is so beyond their normal personality that it's scary. I mean, to see your mother or to see your wife standing at the top of a stairwell with a big old knife, or stripping her clothes off in the middle of the night to in some corner dancing to something invisible. I mean, I'd be totally weirded out for the rest of my life behind those scenes. I wouldn't know how to deal with that. So we looked at the script and I suggested that we just stick to the basic storyline. Just tell it exactly what happened as much as possible. There were some areas, you know, we did some Hollywood, you know, the voice, changing it up a little bit, stuff like that. Because when we were watching it, we're going, you know, maybe we have to have a little bit of personality, something to identify the demon separate from her. And generally behavior itself, voice is part of behavior. Voice is reflective of behavior, the actions, the things that we do. If I'm coming up to you and I'm going, hey, what are you doing? My voice changes. Like, hey, what are you doing? My voice changes depending upon what I'm doing. So we wanted to create the monster within her, with the demon, without being over the top. Kind of hard to do and make it enjoyable. And I don't know if it's masterful or not, but we paid attention to the creepiness of what we think films are about, the shadows, the light. And I got to hand it to the technicians. One in particular, the gaffer, our lighting guy, Dan Watt, who did a masterful job of creating mood with light. All the shadowy stuff you saw, even some of the shots that we got, one in particular, the shot in the sink where you saw our 7 or 8 drops of blood, the only blood in the whole, besides one on her lip. Okay. I wanted that to be shot overhead, coming out, exposing, coming up this way, okay, to reveal. And originally the DP said he couldn't do it. And thank God we had Dan Watt there. He jumped right on. He said, wait a minute, I can rig something. He sets up a rig, a boom, bam, get the shot. And it's those kinds of things that make a director look good. You know, because I can only do so much. I can tell them what I want. I can tell them how I see it. I can help the actors get to the emotional state that they need to be, hopefully. But I cannot create what their skills do not possess already. And we had great guys, sound, lighting. Our DP was very good at recreating the shots I wanted. He had no qualms about trying new stuff. And that's what this is about. So little things we did, trying to do the POV from the demon near I don't want to, you know, be a spoiler here, but I'm sure people have seen the movie. Near the end, the last two things that identify the demon still is hanging around. You know, just tiny stuff that's creepy, that's not over the top. And that is what Craig was so... and this is what made me feel good about working with him. So willing to adjust what he had written. If you've ever worked with playwrights, screenwriters, anybody who's writing any damn thing, it's their baby. Oh my God. You can't.
Yes.
Nah, sometimes the fingers got to go, you know, and throw the baby out. I mean, so, and he had no problem doing that. And that's what made this film work, was the cooperation. There's a term, mise en scène, everything in the frame.
Okay. Yes, mise en place, everything in its place,
Yes, everything in its place.
You see, and that's See, I'm a graphic artist, so I've worked with people like, you know, writing stories and layouts and stuff, and that's very, very hard to do, to try to talk. You almost have to kind of talk them into it, you know, because they don't know this is my vision. This is
just like actors.
Yes.
Got to show them. I don't show actors what to do unless we're at the 12th hour. What I do is help them see the path.
Yeah.
Hopefully they find their own way. You know, because I know what I want, but I don't want to tell them. So I said, well, why don't you think about this? Let's come from this perspective, you know. And eventually they're going, oh, yeah. Oh, there it is. Boom. Now it's theirs.
Little nudge. Yeah. You know.
And I really want to know who, because I have like certain little things that I think are my favorite parts to any movie. I like pick out little tiny pieces. I think like anybody does. And there's a moment where the demon and Father Bob have like that recognition where he sees it in her and she's looking back at him, and they kind of almost have that little moment together. Well, they
do, cause she says it.
Yeah. It's like, right. It's like I said, it's that moment that they have that recognition.
Who's in you? You know, who's in me, Father.
Well, who's inside me, Father Bob? Yeah.
I want to know who's responsible for that particular moment on film.
Was that improv or was that Mr. Aarons?
That was the total team.
Okay.
That was the actors. That was the writing. That was the directing. That was the lighting. See, and that's one of the things I think that's so important about understanding, for me anyway, and how we approach films. It's not one person. It is not. I may have an idea, but that idea doesn't gel with me. It gels with us.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody putting in their stuff. So how we write something and then how it's actually played out, two different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really the writing that Craig did, the essence of this was superb, because it was real. It wasn't making stuff up. It was observations and something, unfortunately, that he had firsthand experience from watching that happen with those folks. So, you know, I think it's, again, getting back to the term, mise en scène, you know, it the elements necessary for one little thing is a total component of everything.
Yes.
So tough to identify. And that's what I love about film. It's such a completion of art. You know, it's got the vision, got the music, everything. Without music, who's Dracula? Just some creepy old guy walking down the stairs, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I lighting.
Spoke with him before. The juxtaposition of the music with the film is really well done, because the music's beautiful in the movie. The music is gorgeous. Like when you guys do the drone shots, you know?
Yeah.
The opening, and it's almost it throws back to Cannibal Holocaust, I guess, where the music is so alluring and it kind of lures you into like a false sense of security, and then all this crazy shit starts happening. It's really cool because it's a slow burn movie where it's just, you know, little stuff kind of seems off, and then next thing you know, she's standing behind the husband or one of the daughters, and but what I wanted to get to was, what inspired this movie? Where did the you know, the idea come from?
Obviously, you said this is someone you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Go on.
I mean, the family in question, I had known for years, way before becoming a filmmaker, way before being an actor. And it always struck me that this story, their story, would make for a good film. Just because how... It didn't happen over a three-day weekend. It happened over time. It always struck me like this family was not extraordinary as compared to other families. It could have been really anybody. And I'm kind of from the school, if it happened once, it's happened before, it's probably going to happen again. So their story could certainly be related, you know, by other families. So it is always in the back of my mind, I always thought this would make a good movie. Never really thinking back then, and this was a long time ago, that I would be in a position of you know, bringing this to film, if you will. And that's certainly where David comes into play, where the two of us, you know, brought this to market, if you will. But it always just struck me for years and years that this would make a good movie because it wasn't over the top, you know. And I remember very distinctly when The Exorcist came out, it's like, oh my God, you know, run as fast as you can. But, you know, and that made a lasting image on my mind and probably a lot of other people, like, well, that's how these things are, you know, should go. But where this was so much different than that experience, let's say, it always struck me like this should be made into a film. So that'd be the history behind it, if you will.
Now, along with that, I do have to ask as well, since it is obviously inspired by a family that you know, has anyone from that family seen the film?
Yes. The answer would be yes.
Okay.
Yes. And we served the story well, so there wasn't anything in there that would be over the top. And, you know, like I said a little while ago, you know, we had kind of a small box in which to play in. And if we went outside of that, we'd be disingenuous, and that would not be this story. So we really worked hard, especially David directing the actors, to get the performances, to get the tone in alignment of how the story was, and not to go out there and be kind of silly in some of the portrayal.
Yeah, I can see. I can definitely see that, because if you are going to show this to the family, or they are going to see it, which
right.
I would expect that they will anytime mm-hmm. you release something. If it's too much or too over the top, then I think if it were me, I'd probably feel insulted. So I can definitely see the reason mm-hmm. to keep it exactly as it should be.
And there were some things that we did not include that, if we so choose, we could be using that. And some future film. So, you know, we didn't play all of the cards.
Which is smart. Very smart. Here and there. Yes, absolutely. Oh gosh, I'm trying to think of this.
What was it about horror that made you want to do a horror film, say? What was it, you know, was there something that you were drawn to about horror, or like kind of quick and dirty, or because you had this story and, you know, reference already, you know, in your mind, or what was it that drew you to make a horror flick?
Well, in the brief time that we've been here together, David and myself, do we strike you as guys that make a romance comedy? Probably not. Not at all. You know, they have their place, but, you know, it's like David said about Dracula. I mean, you know, I was raised on The Creature from the Black Lagoon, Frankenstein, where all of these things, and I loved it. It's like what David touched on, like, you know, if I get too much, I'll turn down the volume, I'll get through this. But, you know, you leave the volume up, you know, it scares the heck out of you. So I've always been a fan of horror, and I'll let David speak on this too. So that, as far as the genre, I've always enjoyed it. And, you know, my family upbringing, my dad's mom, my grandmother, always consulted with her Ouija board. She used tarot cards. She used her crystal ball. So I have always been around this environment. So with this experience of this family, it just seemed kind of natural to go into that direction. Mm-hmm. So if there's a genre that I just feel connected to, it's always horror. I'll let David speak on this too, of course.
Well, I'm not so, it's kind of strange. I never thought of myself doing horror films, even though I've enjoyed watching them. The Exorcist scared the hell out of me when it first came out. Frankenstein as a kid literally scared the crap out of me. I loved all of the movies. I watched them all. They scared me. Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Oh my God. Folks are Red Wolf in, and we can go on and on and on and on. But I never saw myself doing horror movies. I don't know why. I've always saw myself, I guess because I've always been cast as either a bad guy or a cop or something like that. But the opportunity came, and for me, I really didn't think of it as doing a horror movie. I thought of it as doing a drama with a supernatural bend to it. It's more of a reality drama, something based on something that was real. So I was excited about that, trying to put something together that reflected his understanding of the reality of all those circumstances and situations. So next thing I know, I'm thinking like this. So not to segue into another conversation, but the script, the crumbs and the script we're working on now, it's like, okay, they're kind of creepy. Where does that come from? I have no idea. I've always been creepy and didn't realize how creepy. But I'm having a hell of a good time, and I'm working with great actors, great tech people. Craig, my partner, and I, we just click with the writing. And I don't think you could find a more challenging, other than doing period pieces, more challenging genre. Because everything else, you know, absent Westerns, which just the locations are what challenges in a Western. I've done a Western, very challenging, sitting on a horse for 12 hours out in the desert. That'll teach you. But this stuff, it's adding a thrill with a drama. You got all the elements. You got reality. You got supernatural. So you got fantasy. You got all the elements there. And if done correctly, you can really create an environment that allows the audience to experience it. The scares, the thrills, the palpitations. Let's face it, we all like to get scared. I love roller coasters. Everything that feared me in my life, I did it, tried to do it. Horses, jumping off, climbing up things, whatever it was, I was afraid of everything as a kid. So for me, it was like, I don't know what about that adrenaline rush. So
it's not a safe scare. It's, when you deep down, you know, you're okay, but you still want to get kind of thrilled, you know? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But then there's some horror movies like the Amityville Horror and the subsequent one after it. Okay. The follow-up film to it that took place in England. Whoa. That's really scary. That scares me even now as I think about it. The reality, the most documented, I mean, cops were making reports, witnessing this stuff go on. Neutral people were following this. So that's the part that really gives me the creeps and makes me feel like I'm right on the edge. Right on the edge. And we had some moments like that in the film, the shooting of it, because we shot part of it, the basement scenes. And Craig found this place in Banning. Maybe you want to tell him about it, Craig.
The basements were pretty creepy, guys. They were,
Well, here's what happened with the basement. John Stamos, who did a great job on the film with us, wore many hats. And so he and I were scouting locations. And I'd reached out to the Riverside Film Commission. And so we're going to go out there and look at this basement. Make a long story short, what we really liked, it was a double basement. And you know, who has a double basement? And yeah, so we took video, as we do for any set location. And this is the first time this has ever happened. So I sent John the footage, and I didn't say anything. I said, hey, take a look at the footage and see, you know, see what you think, if you like this everything. And so he got back with me immediately. He goes, Craig, we have orbs. Now, bear in mind, everybody can say,
because I saw this one.
Yeah, it had orbs, and both in the video, and we didn't realize until we saw on the big screen, also in the film. Now, I've not, and I know every inch of that film, I've not picked up on it in the film just because I'm watching the whole, every aspect of it, but I've been told that they also appear in the film. But they certainly did in the video that we took, and everybody can say, oh, it's a light flare, and you know, scientifically explain it. But we're going to go with their spiritual orbs because that just fits a lot better with what we do, right? So that's kind of started it. And then we were shooting inside the house. And David, were we all upstairs when the mirror fell off the wall? Where were we?
In the house, yes. We were just standing there in the hallway, and this mirror that's very securely attached in this home just falls down. Bam! Everybody goes, what the hell? But getting back to that basement, that's location. It's an old reform school that's closed down.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We had our sound guy going across on the other side of the compound to another basement area, and there was some incredible sounds that were being recorded down there. We were just taking it for, well, who knows what it is, this and that. We had to shoot a scene down there with Father Bob in his office. And so I was down there with the makeup artist. She was putting the tats on my back, my arms, etc. Mm-hmm. And it was just her and I. And we hear this rattling going on down the hall. I had been down that hall. It's a very long, broad hall with rooms adjacent both sides, and looked at everything. There was nothing there. We're hearing all this rattling and noise. She's getting really freaked out. So I go, well, wait a minute. I'll go down. She goes, don't go over there. I said, no, it's all right. Because I've been there. I go down. I look. Nothing. I come walking back. You start hearing, crom, 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 crom. We got all this recorded. I'm like, okay, wow. This is getting creepy. Where's everybody else? Where's the rest of the crew? They should be over here. Where are they? And it kept doing it. My makeup artist said, Dave, I can't work like this. I'm really scared right now. This has weirded me out. I never had this experience. I said, don't worry. The crew's going to come. The crew showed up just then. I was like, all right. So the place itself was had its own spiritual
and
those orbs, there was nothing down there that could have produced those orbs. We did a single camera shooting and the lights were minimal. It wasn't even 3-point on it. It was just the key and minimum fill because we wanted shadow. So how all those orbs came from wherever they came from dancing around is beyond me.
And stuff like that.
Yeah, it was creepy, and they're still there in the movie, and so I don't get how anybody could try to say that it was something with the cameras. It was a single camera, and again, we didn't even have the 3-point. We didn't have the backlighting on it.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, like you, I don't know. Usually, when you do a if there's a lens flare, it moves it a certain way, and I don't know. When I was on YouTube looking at watching the videos, and I was like, oh man, oh nah, creepy stuff.
Yeah.
Anything?
I think that covers like most of what I wanted to ask. I mean, for me,
there was one I was gonna say about the basement. Again, it's the basement. The basement's real creepy. I forgot. Yeah. Anything you had? Totally.
Brain just shut off.
Had a brain fart, guys. Yeah. Well,
the basement was 100 miles away from our main location.
Do I say it again?
The basement was 100 miles away from our main location. So when we shot the film, we shot all the basement scenes first, way over there. And it was in Banning. It was still snow on the ground and we had no heat or nothing. And we're in this basement. All the scenes you see with those people, you see how calm, collected, normal they were?
Yeah.
It's freezing butt down there. That's why I say it was a collective endeavor.
The nightgown, and she's standing on the steps. So now that you tell me that, it's like, oh, she must have been, you know, frozen, you know, solid. It was about the basement. There's the scene where the guy comes to do the rat inspection, and she's in the corner, you know. Like, to me, I'm thinking she's eating a rat. You know, that's what is conveyed.
That's but again, much it.
Said about
that's the, yeah, that's because she was eating a rat.
Yeah, yeah. That's creepy, man. That whole scene is unnerving. And now knowing what you told me about the basement, it makes it that much creepier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who came up with the design for the poster? Who like the graphic artist, or because even the poster has its own like kind of aura, and
it was a still.
It's unnerving. It's unsettling.
It was a still that we shot when we first were directing a scene. We saw it, and Craig and I saw it right away. We go, hey, wow, the poster.
That's a nice shot. It's in the film, but to put that as a poster, that was right on the money, man. That was right on the money. Nice.
Yeah, it just kind of stood out like, this is it. This is kind of sums it up. So, yeah, I'm glad you like it.
Right on. We got to go. Oh, man, this stinks, man. We could talk to you guys for hours,
I know.
Is there anything else you wanted to ask him while we got him? Father Bob, how is he such a badass? Like, you know, just the introduction of Father Bob.
He's tired of it already. He's tired of this demon. He's tired of chasing these guys, man. He's beat. He's done. That's it. He's not going to sit there and play games or pretend. He's the real deal. He's a demon chaser. That's what he does. His backstory
was awesome. Just real subtle. Like, you can tell he's about to pop off. He's had it with this demon. So it's,
thank you.
Bravo, man. Bravo. Really, really well played. Really well played.
Film, very well done, both of you.
Yes.
And once again, we can't thank you enough for coming to our humble little show for an interview. Thank you so much.
I've told many people about the movie, and
right on.
Good job.
Remember, when you see the movie, if you like it, please rate it for us. If you don't like it, don't tell anybody. Just turn it off.
Here at Slinky's Liquor Bottom Video, and you want to see more, hit the subscribe button and you'll see everything we've got. Well, wait, whoa.
That's you. You ran with that one.
No.
Do you like what you say?